Good evening, everyone. Just earlier this week, I was on my way out to Calvary Seminary, or Cemetery, to celebrate the burial, right, the rite of commitment. And I was going out with one of the funeral home directors, and she was saying, "This is a pretty busy week for you priests, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it is. You know, these coming few days will be, they'll be action-packed, to say the least." But she says, "You know, Father, there's one thing that drives me crazy. There's something that I can't figure out. Why do we call this coming Friday Good Friday? Of all the things to call it, good seems to be the least logical." She said, "You know, Father, we celebrate the torture, the crucifixion, the death of our Lord, and we call that day good. Why? Why do we do that? Right? We know. I mean, there's something in the air today. There's an aura that's just, it's so somber. You know, in fact, you know, you look at the church. I mean, again, you know, all the statues still covered. Our Lord not present in the tabernacle. The altar stripped. Right? We come in and we leave today in silence. Right? There's something entirely somber about this day. Yet, we call it good. We call today Good Friday. Why? Why do that?" You know, in order to reflect upon that, there's one point in the gospel today that I really want to reflect upon. And it's an important point that we now, as Christians 2,000 years later, after the events that we just heard in the gospel took place, it's an event that we might overlook. But no Jew of the first century, no Jew that the Apostle John would have been speaking to would have missed. And that's that the moment after Jesus dies, the moment after he gives over his spirit, the soldier comes up and pierces his side, and what flows from it but blood and water? It's there, at that moment, that we hear that one of the great prophecies had been fulfilled. And now, in order for us to even begin to understand that, we need to go back 5 days. Go back 5 days in our life. 5 days ago, we were here in this church. We were celebrating Palm Sunday, right? We were waving palms as Jesus comes in. Jesus, the Messiah, comes in through the east gate of the temple. Right there on that donkey with people waving those palm branches, proclaiming him to be the king. And now today, even though he's clothed in purple, he's proclaimed to be this king yet again, but sarcastically. He's mocked. And Jesus, as he came into that temple area, it was significant because, again, what did Jesus come to do? Why? What was the problem with the temple? If there was one thing that led to Jesus' crucifixion, if it was one thing that led to the fever pitch that ultimately led to this moment that we celebrate today, it was the fact that Jesus criticized the temple. Jesus flipping over the tables, calling this place a den of thieves. It was Jesus who said, 3 days, I will destroy this. This temple will be destroyed, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. You see, this was blasphemy to the Jews. This was something that they couldn't even begin to wrap their mind around. That Jesus, that a man, a mere man, would be willing to say this. Would be willing to test the waters in this regard. That's something that they couldn't stand for. And that set into account the events that ultimately were culminated on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. And you see, the thing that Jews would have never missed was that the prophet Ezekiel, he prophesied of the day when the temple would be renewed. Ezekiel was a priest himself, right? A priest of the old covenant. He was one of the ones who was in charge now of leading the Jews in correct worship. But what he saw, as so many of the prophets during his time, was that the temple had been corrupted. That the temple wasn't what it was meant to be. It wasn't a place leading the people towards God. But in fact, it was a place that was doing just the opposite. It was a place that had been utterly corrupted from within. And Ezekiel, in this great vision, this great dream that he had, he saw that one day when the Messiah came, there would be water flowing from the side of the temple. And at that very moment, that's when the temple would truly be fulfilled. That's when the temple would be what it was called to be, what it was meant to be. Namely, that it would help all the people so as to now be in right relationship with God, to worship Him the way that the Israelites originally were called to do Him homage. So today, we see this. We hear that the moment now where Jesus, where His side is pierced, out now flows blood and water. And what is that blood and water? But symbolically, of the two great sacraments of life that we have in the church. Baptism, the means by which our original sin is wiped away. The means by which now we are helped to be brought into back into right relationship with God. And blood, symbolizing the Holy Eucharist. Symbolizing that very sacrament now that continues to fill us with life even 2,000 years later. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring us back into right relationship with God. And you see, John, as an eyewitness of this event, he said, listen, pay attention now. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. This is the moment now where the temple will be fulfilled. And it's ironic because at that very moment, right, flowing from the side of Jesus, now the church is born. The church with those two great sacraments. The bride of Christ, ironically, the same way, right? The same way that Eve, the wife of Adam, was pulled from his side, pulled from his rib. Now, the church is born from Jesus flowing now from the cross, from that blood and from that water coming out from his side. You see, Jesus, he came among us. The incarnation was to come and now to bring us back into right relationship with God. And today, from the cross, that's exactly what he did. And this is an event that merely happened 2,000 years ago. But the fact that we're still here, the fact that we still have a church today, a church that for 2,000 unbroken years has continued to offer those sacraments, continues now to help us to be in right relationship with God. That's what we celebrate today. Right? And as faithful, as dark, and as terrible as today is, that is what we celebrate. You see, where Adam was disobedient, where Adam refused to fulfill the will of God, to follow him, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane says, no, not my will, Father, but your will be done. You see, now Jesus, he brings us back into right relationship. He allows us now in a whole new way to be reconciled with God, to worship him correctly. That's what we celebrate today. And that's why we find ourselves here. So yes, today is somber. Today is dark. But as we know, death does not have the final say. As we know, just mere days from now, we'll celebrate the resurrection. We'll celebrate the fact that now we too have new life. New life, yes, in heaven, but life now, because God gifts us the church, right? That gift that flowed right from his side. So yes, today is dark. There's no question about it. But it is still good. Because it's from his side, it's from that sacrifice that our Lord offered, that now we have life, both now and in the life to come.